All right, so the scripture for today is Galatians 1, 6 through 10. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Good morning. Let's pray before we dive into this passage. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come to worship you, to praise your name. Lord, I pray that you would calm my illness as I preach and that I would be able to think with clarity of thought and with clearness of speech. Lord, I pray that we would become passionate about the gospel and clearly about the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we started with the book of Galatians. And we saw that Paul is a man who was so unlikely to be chosen to be a pastor and to present the gospel to people. That he was the kind of person that actually went after trying to destroy the church. And then God showed up and changed Paul's life and called him to become a pastor, to preach weddings and funerals of family members that he had killed. And he became one of the most influential leaders that church has ever seen. He planted churches all over the known world. And he writes this letter to the churches of Galatia. I would like to remind you that it would be like writing a letter to the churches of the region, as opposed to just Hoffman Street Baptist Church. And so this letter was to be circulated among all of these churches. And Paul, up until this point, in the first five verses, for the most part, he pretty much follows his standard introduction. But today we will see that he deviates from that. Normally, when he gets to this part where we are beginning today, he normally starts complimenting the church. Even if it is one jacked up, messed up, everything wrong kind of church. If everything is going wrong, we studied the book of 1 Corinthians a while back. This was a church that people were getting drunk off of communion wine, and one guy was sleeping with his stepmom. I mean, everything is messed up in that church. But still, he found something to kind of compliment them on. It was a little bit of a backhanded compliment, but it was still a compliment. That he was praising God for them. And what we find here is instead what he responds with, instead of complimenting them, is saying, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting. Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Normally, he's approaching the churches, even if they're as jacked up as the Corinthian churches, and he's thanking God for them, complimenting them on something. And he gets to writing this letter to the Galatians. And he does not thank God for them. Instead, what he does is he says, I am astonished. I'm surprised. It's crazy. I can't believe that you're doing this. You are abandoning God and turning away from the true gospel to another gospel. Now, a little bit of background for what was going on in the church of Galatia is they weren't saying, oh, we love a different God other than Jesus. No, we don't believe he died on the cross for our sins. That's what we generally have a tendency to think of when we think of another gospel. And for those of you who don't know, gospel means good news. And so the good news for all of humanity is that Jesus came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and rose again so that we, in the sacrifice that he made for our sins, paid the price and gives us hope for eternity in heaven with him. Now, we have a tendency to think that the Galatians, as we read this initial intro, that they were converting to another religion, that they were worshiping other gods. That wasn't the case. It was actually a group from within the church was rising up, and they were called Judaizers. And they were so focused on one aspect of the law that they missed Jesus who fulfills the law. They were adding Jesus plus circumcision. They were saying, all right, to be saved, you must believe in Jesus and be circumcised. They were saying Jesus plus something else equals heaven. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus plus anything does not equal Jesus. And we look, and circumcision isn't a big deal for us, so it's like, ah, we don't have to worry about that. It's not the same issue. Whenever we take anything and we interpret the Bible through it, we are adding something to Jesus. Whether it's water baptism, whether it is speaking in tongues, whether it is our personal cultural biases, our political preferences, and I'm not saying don't be involved in politics and don't exercise as a good steward the rights that God has given you to vote. Absolutely exercise those rights. In just a short time, we've got another time where God has given us an opportunity to take part in electing leaders for our country. But the tendency sometimes is to say, to be a Christian, you must vote liberal or vote conservative. And what we do is we distort the gospel by adding something to it. By saying, to be a good Christian, you have to vote this way. In fact, I received hundreds of flyers. I mean, it was, I think, a 27-pound box of a voter's guide to pass out at churches, and it listed quite a few different things on where the politicians being elected in Indiana stand on different items, and most of the things that were listed on it were good things, things that we need to consider, things that we need to pray about as we decide who we're going to vote for. But I also noticed that everything was one-sided. It would talk about issues of family or separation of church and state, but it wouldn't talk about caring for the foreigner or the alien in our midst. And there are both sides of that, and I'm not saying choose one over the other. I'm saying pray, but do not use your political bias to determine what a good Christian is. There are areas of sin that we need to think about. And I'll tell you, both political parties support different areas of systemic sin. That sin that is set up into the system. Another thing that we have a tendency to do, and I've heard this not too long ago, was that to be saved, you must believe and confess publicly. Now, I believe that if you know Jesus, you will begin to confess and you won't be able to contain what he has done in your life. But to say, I think so-and-so is going to hell because they have not walked forward and said a prayer or spoken in front of the congregation, it's a problem, and we're saying Jesus plus saying it. And we're saying that we can do something to make ourselves righteous before Jesus. That we can do something to make us perfect before a holy God. And what I'm here to tell you, the gospel that is preached here in the Gospels, here in Galatians, by Paul, by Peter, by John, by Jude, by James, is all the same. We can do nothing. We will respond if we have met Jesus, but we can do nothing. To receive our forgiveness. It is all based on what Jesus did on the cross and what he continues to do in our lives. How many of you have been asked a question of, well, how do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you're going to heaven? And I'll be honest, I've answered with this thing, well, these are the things that I've done. Not saying that I've done those things, but in essence, what I was saying is the evidence of what I have done is more important than what Jesus has done. Because instead of talking about Jesus on the cross, I talked about the life change that I've seen in me. And I'm saying, tell about the life change, but don't forget about Jesus. When we make it about ourselves and rather than Jesus, we have distorted the gospel and we have accepted another gospel. And what Paul says as he continues on is that people are bothering the church. People are coming in and infiltrating the church and adding things to the gospel that are not true. They're saying, you must do this. Like many of us say, if you're a good Christian, then no naughty words will ever come out of your mouth, or no alcohol will ever touch your lips. And that's what makes you a good Christian. And what's true is we cannot make ourselves a good Christian. He is the one who changes us. Jesus and only Jesus. Now, if you're a Christian and if you love him and he has changed your heart, there will be a change. You will not be content to remain in any sin. Any sin. Because as soon as you recognize it, the Holy Spirit will be working in you and changing you and saying, no, I cannot do that anymore. But it is not based on your effort to stop it. It is based on his forgiveness that you are saved. But if you are truly saved, there will be a change. You will not be content. And he goes on to say, even if I or an angel come to you and preach another gospel, preach anything other than pointing to the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of his sacrifice, all that Jesus has done, if I as a pastor, if you start getting visions and angels come to you and say, there is another gospel, then it is the wrong gospel. And what he says is, let them be accursed. What he is saying in this, let them be accursed, is damn them all to hell. Wishing that upon an angel of heaven. What he's saying is, any angel that says that is a demon in disguise. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the stories of Muhammad and Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. Both of them had angel appearances to them that gave them another scripture, another gospel, something other than Jesus. I'm telling you that those scriptures are demonically inspired and should not be coveted or enjoyed. I'm not saying that Christians who are missionaries in a Muslim world should not know and learn the gospel so that they understand it from a cult or the Quran, but instead, a cultural perspective, look at it and say, all right, this is why there are different cultural cues, not this is another holy book for me to embrace. He says, let him be accursed. What a powerful thing to say. And what he's saying is, if anyone does not love God, continually rejects God, continually rejects the gospel, and I'm not talking about a one-time thing or a three-time thing, but a lifelong pursuit of saying no to the gospel, then that person is destined to hell. And in this passage, he takes a specific focus on teachers. In Now, this would not have got him any love from the Galatian church. Many of the Galatians were embracing this other gospel that is not a gospel, it is not good news, by adding to the gospel. And what he says is, I'm not here trying to gain friendships. I'm not here trying to make you happy. Instead, what he says is, my only priority is making God happy and God glorified. Now, we can turn this the opposite way, and what this does not mean, what I'm not trying to say, is make as many people unhappy as you possibly can, and then you must be doing something right. And that's what sometimes as fundamentalists we have a tendency to do, is we have a tendency to be as hateful and as angry and be like, well, I preached the gospel and I told it in truth and great, everybody's unhappy, then I did the right thing. And what he's saying though is there is freedom in Jesus. There is freedom in Christ. There is freedom when God is our sole priority on making him happy. Not our friends, not those with a political interest, not those who can help us, but when Jesus is our priority, then we will be passionate. We will be free to do what is right. We will be free to do what we want to. Our desires will have changed. And there is freedom. How many of you have gone into a situation where someone criticized you and you tried to change it, and then they criticized you again, and you tried to change it, and they criticized you again, and you just spend all this time going, what can I do? I'm trying to help these people out. What Paul is saying here is, do not worry about them. Worry about God. If they're happy and if they're following me, they will come along and they will get over it. If they're not, they won't. But that's not your problem. What I'm here to tell you is focusing on God, focusing on his glory through what Jesus Christ has done and is doing in your life is magnificent. But always keep it focused on Jesus, not anything else. If we add anything to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we are distorting, and it is not good news. That's why, as we preached through Nehemiah, even though it was the Old Testament foreshadowing, pushing towards Jesus before his birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection, every sermon came back to Jesus. Because the Old Testament is lost if it's not connected to Jesus. Everything is lost if it is not connected to Jesus. Our God is so amazing, and he has done so much for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to worship. Thank you for the strength that you've given me through this message. Lord, I pray that we would be focused on you and focused on the gospel, and that we would not abandon you to add something to the gospel. God, you are so amazing. Thank you for your son and his sacrifice.